on the day of accounting, when we will be in the presence of Allah, when people will be accounted for, the human beings will be accounted for. And hisab, the accounting, the reckoning, will be done on that basis, on those actions that Allah Ta'ala, those criteria that Allah Ta'ala define, on that criteria, the accounting and the reckoning will take place. And the most important resource that Allah Ta'ala gave to us, for which we will be accounted for, the criteria, is time. And our whole life passes through time. All our amal, deeds, are hinged on the time that we have to do that action. We have fajr time, we have dhuhr time, we have isha time, we have asr time, tahajjud time. So in other words, that all of our amal are distributed across the day or the night, and they are all within a certain time frame. Yeah, 24 hours. You know, we say that life is 24 hours, for example. If you start to look at it in detail. So Allah Ta'ala has prepared such a thing, night and day. And Allah Ta'ala has distributed actions through that night and through the day. So all the actions that we do are according to time, either they're in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening or in the night. We do them in certain times. So Allah Ta'ala says that I will account for your deeds and the deeds that were done within the time frames, and I will account you for how did you use the time. Just like we have computers nowadays and tills that print receipts, in the same way, in the hereafter, on the Day of Judgment, our deeds will be printed out, and the time that we wasted will come out blank on those receipts, like the till roll that comes out blank. So Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you a limited time in this world, and this much time you have to live in the world. Allah Ta'ala has given us time, distributed us time. Allah Ta'ala has allotted a certain fixed time. You can't live a minute more or a minute less. And this time I'll call you back. Now then, that time will be printed out, just like a computer printout, yeah, or a spreadsheet that shows. And Allah Ta'ala is khabir and basir. He knows everything already. And I will say, hey, now I'm printing this out for you. Have a look at what you've done. Then those times, the times will be printed and shown on the slip. And that time that we wasted, that time that we wasted, it will come out blank. That time in which we committed sins, we will be told. And for example, the time that we used properly will be separate, the time we wasted will be separate, everything will be shown clearly. And after all of this, one thing that prominently will stand out, which will be very unique utilization of time, and very few people will have this as an action. This is also a point. But when that part comes out, that time gets printed out, Allah Ta'ala, may He give us more of that, then what will be within that? That there will be the glad tidings of paradise in that time. And its color will be unique, its image will be unique, the sight of that time used will be good. Allah Ta'ala will be happy by looking at that. And what is that time that we utilized in the world that Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with, that will be unique for us and strong for us? As a reward. And today we don't even consider it as our amal. And if, in other words, we look at it, really this amal, this action is at the top of the list. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to this world, this was the greatest deed that was done at that time by the Sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum. So what is that deed, that action? That would be one of the best. That time that a person, a man or a woman, a brother or a sister, that time that that person utilized in the way of sitting in the company or spending in the company, the sohbat of a wali of Allah, the friend of Allah. That will be a unique reckoning for that time used. That the time that a person uses to spend in the company of the wali of Allah, the wali of Allah, the guide, the sheikh, that time will get the great reward. And it will have labeled to it the good news of Jannah, paradise. And only a few people will have this reward. Only a few people will have used the time in that way. If we see that Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to this world, and the first amal, the deed that occurred, was that the jama'ah of the sahaba was formed. What is their name? Sahaba. the noble companions radiallahu anhum, and they had the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was the best deed in their day and age. That faraid came after halal, haram, Quran, salah, and all other things. But the greatest deed that they implemented, which the sahaba did, and if an insan does this today, human being, then until the day of judgment, remember the sahaba ikram, they were labeled, they were given that tag, that until qiyamah no one can come that can reach their heights and their status. What was their amal? Their deed, the sohbat, the company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was the greatest deed in that day and age, with the greatest reward. And the same way that deed continues, we won't lose out. Allah Ta'ala says, in every day and age, the awliya Allah have been sent to the world, the pious people, the people who are good, who are close to Allah. And if you spend time in their company, then that will be a unique time spent. Time best spent, in other words, time best spent. And in Allah Ta'ala's court, it will get the greatest reward. And what's the reason for this? The reason is that the sohbat, the company of the wali of Allah, when we spend time with them, the first thing that is that there's no sin taking place at that time. When a person is sitting or spending time in the company of the wali of Allah, then he cannot sin at that time, or he doesn't sin at that time. It's such a blessed time. Alhamdulillah. And sin is the worst of all evils that takes a person far from Allah. And let's take different forms of sin. There are many sins. And all sins take a person away from Allah. Far from Allah. And if a person is far from Allah, what we say then, that is, you can say, la'ana. Because a person, for example, who is far from Allah, distant from Allah, detached from Allah. So if a person does a sin far from Allah, another sin far from Allah, third sin far from Allah. So the person is getting further away from Allah due to sinning. Due to sinning, further away from Allah. So when a person then sits in the company of the wali of Allah, then he doesn't sin and he gets closer to Allah, closer to Allah, closer to Allah. So this is the difference. This is the opposite, isn't it? The difference, he gets closer to Allah, closer to Allah. SubhanAllah. And SubhanAllah, that he's not doing any amal at that time. What is the sole amal? Is that he's sitting or spending time in the company of the wali of Allah. And so the person will get closer to Allah. And if you spend time closer to Allah, then imagine what will be the reward, the status of that time spent. We're not doing anything else at that time. Just sat in the company of the wali of Allah, the friend of Allah, sitting in his sohbah, in his company. And the second point that comes out from this is that another great ibadah was also attained at that time, is also attained them, and that is silence, subhanAllah. Because the person who is in the company of the wali of Allah doesn't feel like speaking, rather he wants to hear. He wants to, if you're sat, then you will realize, if you sit in the company of a wali, you'll realize that you just want to keep on listening and hearing and absorbing what's happening around you. You don't want to talk for nothing. This is the great ibadah, silence. Silence, upholding the tongue. I told you this hadith, isn't it? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the person who stays silent will attain salvation, forgiveness, success. And this is hard. This is difficult from morning till evening. The tongue, ring, 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 ting, 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 tong, 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 is like a machine. Like a machine, speak to him, this person there, go outside, look here, left, right, up, front, down, sitting down, talking about others, talking in a majlis. You see this in a gathering of people. But when you're sat in the gathering of the wali of Allah, the barakah is such that a person cannot speak. He won't speak. Have this experience. And remember these words of this fakir. You know, have experience of what I'm saying. Have experience that the wali of Allah sat and I was sat in his company. And this is what happened. So when you go to the company of a wali of Allah, a friend of Allah, you'll see that what does he speak about? That even the most sinful of people, it doesn't matter how sinful he is, he's sinned to the maximum, but he won't speak futile talk in the company of the wali of Allah. In normal gatherings, there's chat and gossip and noise and clamor. But in the gathering of the wali of Allah, you won't hear disputes or fights or quarrels or politics or arguments or any type of form. I didn't see this in my life. I didn't. In every part of the world, you'll see arguments, three or four men sit down. Even in the masjids, everywhere in the world. But where you see the khanqah, the headquarters of the wali of Allah, and you sit in the sohbat, the company of the wali, the true sheikh, there you will not see these discussions. So what a big point this is, that you're not sinning. How long? As long as you are sat down, 10 hours you sit down, you will not speak, you will not sin. This ajiz, when he realized this humble servant, when he realized this point, then on this point, alhamdulillah, I tied a knot on this point, that this is a very easy amal. So whenever I used to go to Hazrat Garami Qadr rahmatullah, when I used to get the company of my sheikh, whether in the Haramain or in Pakistan, then this ajiz humble servant had this habit, rather I'm a sinful person all my life, sinful person, but I've sat down and analyze that one ray of light I may see in my deeds, that maybe I will get something for it. That in the company of my sheikh, I didn't waste 1 minute in the company of my sheikh. SubhanAllah. I wouldn't miss, waste 1 minute, even if, for example, there's other people around, etc. But this is Allah Ta'ala's karam and mercy. I'll tell you something from experience. That, you know, a person, for example, has medical needs. Even at that time, for example, you have hunger, thirst, going to the toilet to urinate, etc. You don't have these needs that come. Even if I'm in the company of the Shaykh in Haram Sharif or in Pakistan, etc., would go with the niyyah that Allah, I'm sitting in the company of my Shaykh, don't know how long Hazrat will be with me. So this time is such a great amal, great practice, that this practice, this action in the company of the Wali of Allah will be accepted upon accepted. So today I am happy, and I always say Alhamdulillah, that I'm very satisfied in this point, that Alhamdulillah, that if I look at my life, all of my life, I can't see any time that was maybe spent usefully, but in the time spent in the company of my Shaykh, of my teacher. And when a person leaves here to go to Pakistan, a person gets sick or ill due to water or food or digestion, etc. But as soon as I would reach to the company of my Shaykh, no illness, no problems, no unhealthy issues, no. As soon as I go back from my Shaykh's company to Karachi, stomachache and a cold or flu, go to the Hakim, to the doctor. Rather, Dera Ghazi Khan was a village, and this was a village within the area of Dera Ghazi Khan. At that time, there was wilderness, just goats and sheep and heat and very hot. But Alhamdulillah, the food was digested nicely and the health was sustained. So what's the point here? What's the reason? So this is the third point. That what does a person attain? That Allah Ta'ala's rahmah descends on the company of the wali of Allah. This is according to hadith. Proper rahmah and blessings of Allah descend around the sohbat, the company of the wali of Allah. When you go there, you feel a sukoon and peace and light, and you have a feeling inside that your eyes are closed. You're feeling nice and gentle and relaxed. And it's like you're in an ajeeb, different world. Why? Why? Because every second, every moment, and every hour, Allah Ta'ala's rahmah is descending on the company of the wali of Allah. In that gathering, people, they fill up their treasure chests and leave. So what a big point that I'm telling you these things in your life, that Allah Ta'ala, if He gives you the opportunity in this world is not empty or devoid of the walis of Allah. Do amal on these things. Practice on these things. I'm telling you for this reason, that in the akhirah, thereafter, the most prominent, superior deed that will come out of your deeds, which will give forgiveness, is this deed. I'm telling you now, this deed. If you get the opportunity to get sohbat of the wali of Allah, then say, that's it. I've got the opportunity that let me leave the dunya for a moment of a space of time and stick to the company of the wali of Allah and adhere to the company of the wali of Allah and say, it's difficult for me to leave this. You can change it, you know, whatever scenery you want outside in the world, but this is the best gathering and the best company. And then there's another amal that comes, because deeds come out from deeds in the company of the wali of Allah. With rahmah, mercy, another deed emanates that automatically the person becomes a dhakir. So the person who's sitting in the company of the wali, the friend of Allah, is that another point that emanates, is that he becomes a dhakir. He's not purposely doing his own pronunciation or recitation or repetition of dhikr. Rather, Allah Ta'ala constantly sends His mercy on that dhakir and His focus and attention. And this dhikr that we do, that's why we do this dhikr, so that our focus can reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the world, sitting in the world. Because we're always thinking mentally about the dunya. So the reason that we do dhikr is that when you do dhikr, the objective of dhikr is that our focus and attention turn to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we are stuck in the world, we got world issues. That's why Allah Ta'ala says that do dhikr so that your focus turns to me, Allah Ta'ala says. So when a person does dhikr, focuses on Allah, his attention turns to Allah, and due to the rahmah and barakah of the company of the wali of Allah, there's such a big effect that normal dhikr, repetition from the tongue, recitation from the tongue, it stops, and the person's heart and mind totally focuses on Allah. Totally. Allahu Akbar. And even if a person doesn't know how to do dhikr, automatically starts, alright, now this is not the gathering of the wali of Allah. We're all sat here seeking this path. But we've got such a gathering now that all our hearts are focused towards Allah. No one's thinking now about driving or dunya or selling or buying. Everyone's focus is Allah, Allah, Allah. And this is the highest form of dhikr, because this is the objective of dhikr, is to make the heart be attentive to Allah so that we turn our focus to Allah. So totally the person, when he turns to Allah, when he's in the company of the wali of Allah, and this is what happens, that person, he's on the maqam of ihsan, on the maqam of being close to Allah, as if he can see Allah, or at least he knows that Allah can see him. He is so much in the presence of Allah. Any person who's in the company of the wali of Allah, he comes to the rank of ihsan, that it's as if I am seeing Allah. he's so engrossed in Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, or at least he feels that Allah Ta'ala is watching him. And the biggest reward that we can attain in paradise, we can attain via the company of the wali wala, through his sohbat, through his majlis. When you go to the majlis of the wali wala, this is the first gift of Allah, the first gift Allah gives, and this first gift is the first certificate for paradise. Totally certified, is signed. Allah Ta'ala says, stamped and sealed. I'll tell you now, totally. And Allah Ta'ala's wali, his company, in his company we get that certificate. What is that? Tawbah. Tawbah. What is it that a person gets in the first sitting of the wali wala? Whoever sat in the company of the wali wala, when you see them, the 99% will be those people who have done tawbah or want to do tawbah. They're not empty from tawbah. Their lives are not empty from tawbah, repentance. That's why they go to the company of the wali, of the guide, of the sheikh. The individual, the student, goes to the company of the wali wala. I'm sinful. Let me go to the wali wala and ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness and do tawbah, repent in the company of a pious person. So it's like you've gone to a hospital. When you go to a hospital, a patient will go to hospital because he's got a sickness, ill health, and he wants to cure himself, get the solution. So whoever goes as a student to the company of the wali wala, sheikh, directly, indirectly, consciously, unconsciously, his maqsad, his objective, in English we say unconsciously, his objective, just like a patient going to the hospital, to the clinic, inpatients, outpatients, is that he wants to cure his illness. So the student, when he goes to the company of the wali wala, his objective is to get the cure, is to get the cure for the sickness. Otherwise, there's no other objective. What other? We're not learning fiqh, jurisprudence, or learning hadith, science of hadith, or tafsir al-Quran. There's no border. So nothing is there. Nothing. So the objective of coming to the company of the wali wala, even if the student understands or doesn't understand, but this is the kareem of Allah. Allah's karam. He wants to give jannah to his servant and save us from jahannam, hellfire, that he wants to push the student. Allah Ta'ala wants to push the student, and the student doesn't even know that, but it's hidden within him, the deep-rooted desire that I want to go to the company of the wali wala to correct myself. Otherwise the shaykh asks, why have you come? To read Quran? No. Learn tafsir? No. To do darsul hadith? No. Jurisprudence? Fiqh? No. So why have you come? I don't know. But then he realizes, student, I want to do tawbah, repent and get close to Allah. And this is the objective of the student. So this is a very big gift of Allah. Extremely brilliant and great gift of Allah, which is tawbah, to repent. And suddenly the doors of paradise open up. When the person who attends the gathering of the wali wala, he does tawbah, he hasn't even finished doing tawbah, and the doors to paradise open. You will have seen normally, regularly, or you will have heard, read in the books, that a person, he goes to the company of a wali of Allah, he's a thief, a gangster, alcoholic, zani, adulterer, bandit, everything. When he reaches to the company of the sheikh, the wali of Allah, the pious person, then he does tawbah, repents, life improves, changes for the better. What's happening here is that tawbah is such a force. Tawbah is such a big force. And if we have the tawfiq to do tawbah, but it's very difficult to get this. A person who attains the tawfiq to do tawbah, aha, he has achieved the greatest achievement. The greatest achievement. Because tawbah, to seek forgiveness from Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, I've created you that you are going to sin in the world. You will be sinful. The reason for this is that Allah Ta'ala has sent the ability for people to do sins in the world. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala wants then people to turn and repent to Allah. Apart from the prophets of Allah who were innocent, everyone else can fall into the trap of sin. Sagira, kabira, doesn't matter. Even we take the greatest jama'ah of the people in the world, in the history of mankind, the Sahaba Ikram, noble companions, until the day of judgment, never can a generation of people come who are greater than them. But they weren't prophets. They were human beings. Even they committed sins and did some actions wrongfully sometimes. They were human beings. Mistakes, but tawbah, repentance, was a big achievement. And Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives the forgiveness, and there's only the Anbiya, the prophets of Allah from mankind, who did not commit the sins. They were innocent. So this is the fadl of Allah, the blessing of Allah. Allah says, I give you the ability to sin, because when you sin, Allah says, a sinful person who's alcoholic, whatever he is, extremely sinful, who breaks the rights of other people, doesn't matter how many sins he gathers together, but if he does tawbah, repents, and after doing tawbah, his rank increases much more, and his sins are eliminated. They disappear. So Allah Ta'ala says, that's why I've given you the ability to sin, because I love the people who sin and they do tawbah. And Allah says, the person who comes to Allah, Allah's court, with so many sins, Allah Murala Ashraf Ali Ta'ala wrote in the kitab, beautiful point. He said that, You say that to become a wali is difficult, and walis do this, and they do mujahidah, and they strive, and they become a wali. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah said, no, this is incorrect. What are you saying? That Allah Ta'ala's friendship is that hard that we don't even know the route to get to Allah Ta'ala's friendship? Is that difficult? No, it's not. It's not. He said, you don't know the path. You don't know the route. Why are you so unhappy? It's such an easy path, just like the friend of Allah. A friend of Allah is so easy to become a friend of Allah. It cannot. This is the most simplest thing to do. For example, we say you have to struggle and strive and sweat. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, why? Who said this? That you have to struggle and strive. Very quickly a person can become the friend of Allah. Huh? How? Hazrat Shaykh? And Allah Ta'ala has explained. Hazrat Thanvi said, Allah has explained that if you have sins, just do one thing. What? Do tawbatun nasuh. True repentance, sincere repentance. When a person does tawbah, then at that same time, as soon as the person does tawbah, Allah Ta'ala gives him the rank of wilaya, friendship, Allah's friendship. And his then value becomes very great. There's an event in the hadith, you will have heard of this event, that there was an Arabi, a villager from outside the countryside area, rural area, and he was going on a journey. He was in the countryside, in the desert, and he had a camel and food and provisions on the back of the camel, and he was traveling. And when he was traveling, whilst he was traveling, then he sat down to rest or sleep, and he then saw that the camels disappeared. His camels, an open desert, sand for miles, nothing to eat, drink. Left, right, forward, backward. Wherever he could run around in the desert and look, he looked, but he couldn't find anything, couldn't find his camel. He said, okay, that's it. Extreme heat and nothing to drink or eat, and my provisions are gone. Death is in front of me. My transport's gone. So he thought, okay, I'll just wait for death. There was a small tree, and he sat under the tree. This is the hadith. Subhanallah. So when he lay down, slept under the tree. After that, when his eyes opened up, when he saw the same camel is standing in front of him, he said, well, imagine me or you, what would be the degree of our happiness that he was standing on the banks of death at that time? But where did it come from? When he opened his eyes, he sees the same camel with the same provisions and luggage on top, stood in front of him. So imagine the feeling, emotion, only that man knows who's in that position. That imagine the extent of his happiness, the maqam of being so happy that subhanallah, yaar. He said that there's no words to describe how that take it to the extreme, that person that from death, for example, he's attained life. That on the banks of death, brink of death, he's attained life. So he went, you could say the person in the world would be crazy with happiness, wouldn't he? If he attained that achievement. So when a person in the same way does tawbah, repents to Allah, says, I'm more happier than that example that you've just thought. Many times over. And I make that person my mahbub. Just like that person, he woke up, he saw the camel, he fell in love with this camel, and was so extremely happy. Allah Ta'ala says that when my servant repents to me, I'm so happy. And I've just given you an example here from hadith that we can at least try to compare or understand. So here the dalil is given proof that when a person does tawbah, he becomes the beloved servant of Allah. And what else is wilaya? This is wilaya. He's become the wali of Allah, the person who's repented. Subhanallah. So how did a person become a wali of Allah? By doing tawbah, repenting. Repent, that's it. That's the route to becoming a wali of Allah. So tawbah, alhamdulillah, 100% of the brothers here sat here for tawbah. And I would like to present some points, some principles with regards to tawbah, because we've come to the majlis to rectify ourselves, improve ourselves, to distance ourselves from our defects. So tawbah is on three levels. Yeah, three principles of tawbah. In Arabic we say bayah. MashaAllah, all of you have done tawbah. You've done bayat to your sheikh, to your teachers. Let's see that what tawbah have we done. That tomorrow this will be useful for us, isn't it? This is what's going to help us on the day of judgment, tawbah. So let's review and revise and analyze that the tawbah I've done, the bayah, the how did I do this bayah, why I did it, did I do it for the hereafter or not? Whoever did it, say subhanallah, subhanallah. Say it again, subhanallah. Did you do bayah for the hereafter? You did bayah for the hereafter, or did you do it for me? What did you do? That I'll do tawbah, that so that I can get my sins forgiven and removed, so I can succeed in the hereafter. That's why I went to my sheikh, my hazrat. Hazrat, tell us how to do tawbah. It was in the Quran. Allah orders that go to the wali of Allah and do tawbah. This is the point, isn't it? That we did it for akhirah, didn't we? So now let's see, that is our tawbah still intact? Is it still there? Is it continuing? So we did tawbah. When you do tawbah, bayah, there were three things we did when we did bayah, if you remember. If you remember, there were three things we did. And without this, you cannot have tawbah. So do you remember those three things that me, I want to revise, I'll tell you to remember. So let's revise these so we don't waste our time and the time to come. The first principle of tawbah, of bayah, which will give success in the akhirah. What is that? The first thing that was that What do we do tawbah for? Why do we repent? We repent on our sins, isn't it? On our sins. We say, Allah, we want to repent for our sins. So we did tawbah that the sins that we have committed, Allah, for which I'm doing tawbah, seeking forgiveness, I will leave them right now. Not tomorrow, the day after. No. For example, somebody didn't have a beard and he kept it. I said, you don't have a beard, you cannot do tawbah. You cannot repent. Those people, remember, who came, they didn't have a beard. So they said, what do I have to do? And I said, this is a condition, you have to keep the beard. That he says, will the hairs come out? So yes, promise today that from today I will not shave or cut the hair. So then the beard has come out. So this is, for example, you're doing tawbah on a guna kabir, on a big major sin. And at that time we can see the sins externally. Allah Ta'ala knows best what are the sins hidden inside your heart, in your life. And remember another point, that you do tawbah from the sins. Yes? You do tawbah from the sins, not due to the sins. For example, if we are sinning and sinning and sinning, what we have to see is that if I'm doing tawbah for one sin, it will be for that one sin, and the rest of the sins will still be there, and I'll get the punishments. So you don't do tawbah collectively. For example, I'm a thief. Yeah? And on top of that, in parallel, I do other wrong actions. So now I do tawbah, and while I do tawbah, I bring all my sins in front of me, and then I bring a sin, I say stealing. Allah, I am repenting for stealing, and I want to do tawbah, I want Allah forgiveness from you. So what am I saying, Allah? I am going to stop stealing. I want to do tawbah on stealing. So Allah Ta'ala, at that time, the sin of stealing, Allah will forgive the sins I committed for stealing. Because that's what I'm asking from Allah. But the other sins I hid or didn't bring here, those sins are still there. So the asool principle of tawbah is that bring all of the sins in front of you, stack them up, pile them up, collect them together. We know from our tongue and our heart, we'll say, Allah, I do this sin, A, sin B, sin C, sin X, sin Y, sin Z. Allah, I want to do tawbah for all of my sins. And now, right this moment, I promise I will leave all of my sins. Remember this. This is what we call tawbah. Straight away, that time to leave the sins. Straight away. End of story. End of story. Leave the sins. And this is, have we done tawbah like this, inshallah? If not, then we'll do it again today. What difference does it make? Isn't it? So did everybody do tawbah like this? Did we leave the sins like that straight away? Remember this, that akhirah, thereafter will be a big accounting, and the printout will come. The printout will come for sure. And that thing that you did, if you did tawbah that time in the hand of the sheikh, if you did tawbah and repented for your sins, did you do repentance for all of your sins or just one? You did repentance, you asked for repentance, forgiveness for all of your sins. The Allah, I'm leaving all my sins there and I turn away from the sins. So at that same time, we should have left all of the sins. End of story. So that's the first condition. First condition. Somebody's doing this and that. No. The sin, kabira, saghira, that we know that this is a sin, that we have to reject that sin. First principle. And what's the second principle? Subhanallah. The second principle was that, for example, I am doing an impure action, an evil action, I'm carrying on doing that action, and suddenly a person who I know, respectful person, comes in front of me and does the action. What will happen to me? That, will you not feel a sudden sort of reaction? Of course you will. You will feel it, that I'm sinning and my father comes in front of me, for example. How will I feel if my father comes and sees? That I'm not ashamed of Allah, but I'm ashamed of the human being. I feel bad that this person I know, and he's seeing me, he's caught me in red-handed, my face will go red, and I'll feel embarrassed. So when the second position, that you're doing tawbah, and you know very well that the sin is in front of you, and Allah is watching. Allah is watching. The person should be so ashamed, so full of remorse and regret, that in front of my Rabb I kept on doing these sins, and Allah was watching me. Allah was watching me. So the person should feel the extreme remorse and regret in front of his Rabb, that Allah, how did I commit this sin or these sins? So that's point number two. Yeah, two things. So number one, repent from all of the sins. Number two, extreme embarrassment and regret, that how, Allah, did I continue to sin while you're watching? And the third thing is to promise to Allah that from today, those sins that I've done tawbah from, that I've repented from today I will never commit those sins. Totally, I promise. In my heart, there's no doubt. Allah Ta'ala, you know, that I'll leave the sin, or I'll after Hajj, or after this. No. Total intention, first and foremost, I will leave the sin now. Number one, I will leave now and collect all my sins from me. Number two, embarrassment, remorse, and from today I will not commit the same sins. The question doesn't arise. And when that person makes these three promises, three actions, Allah Ta'ala, if we don't do these actions, then we won't give walayat. But if we do these actions, Allah will give the walayat. Allah Ta'ala doesn't see how many sins there are to my name. No. I'll give you the examples. Allah is so happy that there's no limit to Allah's happiness. due to the tawbah first. And rather, in some hadith, the subject is presented that there's a celebration in the heavens. There's a celebration that today my servant who was lost and away from me, Allah says he's become my friend, he's come back. Extreme happiness, Allah Ta'ala. And this is the greatest action that connects a human being to his Rabb, which is tawbah. A person who is sinful, who doesn't do tawbah, is very far from Allah. But as soon as a person does tawbah, suddenly he gets close to Allah. She gets close to Allah. Imagine the effect of tawbah, the impact of tawbah. And what tawbah did we do and how did we value it, appreciate it? Let's think about it. That are we steadfast on these three points, these three principles, or have we come back to our old ways? It shouldn't be. We shouldn't be. So what do we say? What do we see? Tawbah. Repentance. So where did we start from? Time. Using time, probably that the most important resource Allah has given to us is time. And the best time, the best way to spend time is in the company of the Wali of Allah. And all of the benefits come from the company of the Wali of Allah. And the greatest achievement in the company of the Wali of Allah is tawbah. And the rewards of tawbah, what? Dhikr Allah. A person gets the dhikr of Allah as a reward for tawbah. Allah Ta'ala connects that person to himself. Allah Ta'ala makes him nearer, draws him nearer, her nearer. So this is haqooq ul-ibad. So now this was tawbah of huquq Allah, but there's a fourth principle now, which is huquq ul-ibad. Yeah? So bring all the sins in front, all of the sins secondly, to repent from the sins and then promise not to do anymore. And then there are the sins that we've done against people. Slapping someone, swearing at somebody, ridiculing somebody, abusing somebody, oppressing somebody, breaking somebody's rights. All day long we do this. Can we be forgiven? Okay, fine. Carry on doing this with happiness. Break the rights of people, but you're transferring your deeds to other people. Because huququllah, we've said that Allah Ta'ala says, fine, I'll forgive you due to these three things, the three first three steps. But the fourth step, the fourth condition, is that if we have to pay back the rights, we have oppressed someone, taken somebody his money, said bad to someone, sworn at somebody, hit somebody, lied to somebody, oppressed somebody, done excess in front of somebody, then Allah Ta'ala says that I cannot forgive you. Rather, you have to go to that person that you oppressed, whose rights you broke. The person whose money you took, you have to give the money back. If you oppress somebody, you have to ask for forgiveness, and you'll have to bow in front of that person. Bow. And what do we do? We say, oh, after doing tawbah, repenting, we think our tawbah has been accepted. No, no, no. This is not tawbah. There are two. Haqooqullah and haqooqul ibad. The rights of Allah and the rights of society. So with the rights of Allah, Allah Ta'ala says, I can forgive you directly. But we just stop there. Then we say, oh, how can I go to the human being who I oppressed? A person, if he has broken the rights of somebody, taken the rights of somebody, and you're not giving his rights back, or you don't want to ask for forgiveness, or you disrespected somebody, or dishonored somebody, ridiculed somebody, and you're stopping yourself from going back to ask for forgiveness, then consider you have takabbur, kibr, pride. And this is what doesn't allow us go and do the extreme great ibadah of asking forgiveness from the person. Just go, brother, I did this against you, I'm asking for forgiveness, I'm sorry. We sweat thinking that how can I ask this person for forgiveness? How can I bow in front of him? But those people have khawf of Allah, fear of Allah, and know that on the day of judgment I will be accounted for this. It doesn't take a second. They say, Allah has forgiven. Allah has forgiven me. Now let me get the forgiveness from the people, society, where I oppressed or exceeded or took their rights or broke their rights. I need to get the forgiveness. This is deen. This is Islam. When the day of accounting starts, the day of judgment, then these things will be accounted for. Ibadat, they will come after. Ibad dhikr, adhkar, Quran, ibadat that we do. Yes, these will come after. These things will be looked after. Because those ibadah, they won't be first at the forefront. They will be after, secondary. Yes, that after sinning in a big way, how can we be looking for these people who made habits that we break the rights of society? Totally. And when we do ibadah at the same time, we're wasting our time. The man, the true man, is a person who's tawbah, who repents, and he says, Allah, forgive me for my sins, and I will leave these sins, then fulfill the rights of people, wife, children, outside, relatives, family, society, people. Allah has given an open playing field. A great playing field. We won't succeed that I am this and I am that, and I did ibadah for a little while. No, 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 no. Come here, Allah Ta'ala says, that repay, account for your deeds, account for your sins, how you oppress the society. And this will happen. So this is very important for us. Very important for us. Now, a very good habit that we can make. A very good habit. What's the habit? That on a daily basis, on a daily basis we should have a balance sheet. Listen to me what I'm saying clearly. Carefully, cautiously, and then you'll be successful. How? What should we do? When we wake up in the morning, until the evening, we've done tawbah. We've asked Allah for repentance. We went to the, we did bayah at the hands of a sheikh, and we've got wilaya. But we are human beings, aren't we? Human beings, and we wander around the world, morning till evening we're in the world, we made mistakes, said something wrong, did something wrong, etc. You go home in the evening. And then you're told that how the walis of Allah have given a great solution. When you go home in the evening after Isha, you're free, your mamulat, you remember Allah, and before you go to sleep, sit in the corner or lie down on your mattress. We have to do this action, it's very important. Listen to what I'm saying. Now, repeat the whole day in front of you. Yeah? Like we have a conveyor belt or a piece of paper that's printing out. So come towards Haqqul Ibad now. That, oh, what did I do today? I committed this sin. Which was the Kabira sin, the major sin, Sagira sin, the minor sin? It's you and Allah. You can't hide from Allah. Allah, I looked at this woman, then I did this action, that I said this wrong, and I committed this sin. Or, for example, I shouldn't have done this action. And all of the sins, you list them out in front of you. A, B, C, D, E, 1, 2, 3, 4. Put them to the side. Identify the sins. List them out mentally, etc. Sit down and put them down. Then repeat the same action. Tawbah an-nasuh, you've already done. Then what do? We refresh ourselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, I did this sin today. All of these sins, and this is kabira sins, these are the sahira sins. Then Allah, I do tawbah again to you on these three principles. Then inshallah, Allah, what's the first principle? First condition is that all of our sins, that Allah, these are all my sins. I bring them all in front of me. I won't do these sins again. Number two, I have got regret. I have remorse. I'm sweating. You gave me the tawfiq to do your ibadah, and I've sinned again. So I'm embarrassed, ashamed. Allah, after today, I promise I will not do these sins again. The pious people used to say that when you do these actions, then the same way you will have purified yourself, just like you were before. Totally tawbah again. So number one, bring all your sins in front of you. Number two, recognize the sins and say, Allah, so if we do this every day, you'll do every day. If you do this your whole life, Allah Ta'ala does not tire of forgiving you. So you do this every day. And what's the benefit of doing these actions every day, the same repeating? When you do tawbah, and then Allah Ta'ala says you're free from tawbah, Allah Ta'ala's sunnah is Allah will elevate your daraja straight away, your rank and level straight away. So how much time we are wasting? Have we ever done this? You maybe do this, I speak to myself. Ask myself that we are so foolish. Allah has given us so many chances that that time while the angels will come at death time, then Allah Ta'ala says, I close the door for tawbah. Otherwise on your bed mattress you're doing tawbah, I accept that same way. Allah says you'll become a person, totally newborn baby, like a newborn baby. Your slate will be wiped clean and you'll have no sin to your name. If every day while before I go to sleep I lie down and I said, Allah, I did these actions today, I won't do these again, I'm ashamed, I have remorse and regret. So number one, put all the sins in front of you. Number two, say that Allah, I will not do these sins again, and I'm ashamed. And then haqququl ibad. The final point, Allah said something bad to somebody, I pushed somebody, I shoved somebody, I ridiculed somebody, I mocked somebody, I said something bad or did something bad to someone. Then say, Allah, I recognize these sins. It's very easy, 1 a.m, 2 a.m, or 12, midnight. MashaAllah, you're making your balance sheet. Write down the name, do what you've done, pick up the telephone and text everybody, subhanAllah, that please forgive me, I've made so many mistakes, I've made these mistakes, that I spoke loudly to you, I broke your heart, or I swore at you, or I mocked you, or there's some problem in our transaction, and I thought that today I've taken more money from you than I should have. Then send a text. Send a text, alhamdulillah, it doesn't take a second. You understand? Text message, you know, with the telephone, Allah's given a chance. Then totally, don't wait, that just within a second, you don't have to phone a person. Sometimes when you phone, you can't get someone. But when you send the text hasn't even been delivered yet, but you die, then you have recognized your sin and the repentance is there. So when you send the text, you fulfill the rights of Allah, you've asked for forgiveness, you fulfill the rights of people, alhamdulillah, recite the kalam and go to sleep with the fadl of Allah. Totally pure and clean, like the newborn baby, you wake up in the morning, tahajjud, and go back towards your mamalat, and then the next day will start. Then you will spend the next day. In this, there's a point that's been written very beautiful by the pious people. They say that this habit Allah Ta'ala likes so much, that the sins that you keep on repeating, Allah Ta'ala starts to dislike, puts the dislike in your heart for those sins. That try to make a connection with Allah. That, for example, there are ways of making Allah Ta'ala closer to us. Allah Ta'ala has given us techniques of how to become close to Allah. And we are selfish if we don't implement this. Not that we're telling someone, or for example, if you're sinful, you're being ridiculed or lowered in the society amongst the people. Allah says, no, it's between me and you in the darkness, between hearts. You're admitting and I'm forgiving. Allah says, you're admitting and I'm forgiving. That's it. That's what we need to do. That's all we need to do. Accept our sins, bring them in front of us, promise to Allah we won't do them again, and ask for forgiveness from them. This, my friends, should we do this? If we don't, then any time death can come, the angel of death will come, salute us, all the sins will be attached to us. The same sins that All of this is that tawbah we've all done once, isn't it? Have we revised, refreshed our tawbah? Every night we should repeat our tawbah. We are human beings, every moment we can do sins. We're not angels, are we? And sins, they should happen. Why? Because every night our darajat and rank should increase in front of Allah. We should please Allah so much every night. We get the rewards, the opportunity. We'll become such good human beings. Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala says, I will put such a noor and a light. When you do tawbah every night, you recognize your sins, you list your sins, and you ask for forgiveness. Allah says, I will put noor and light into your heart, into your life. You'll become a gentle person, cautious person. Those people who disliked you and ran away from you, they didn't like your akhlaq, your wife and your children, your relatives, they started to dislike you, not like you. They look at him, he's disrespectful, he was a good man, he talks loudly, he shouts, he swears, he breaks our rights, and all he knows is one thing. They think, oh, there's a spell on him, magic on him, or there's a black magic on him. But this is not the case. It's nafs and shaitan, that a person has kibar and pride and takabur and shaitan, it comes into his life. Why? Because his ibadah is not correct, his tawbah is not correct, and he thinks that he's got takabur. I'm praying salah, I'm doing dhikr, I read Quran, I'm this and that, but he doesn't see that really what's his akhlaq like, what's his conduct like, his manners, his behavior, and that's the effect of his ibadah. Then that he starts to do the wrong actions, he doesn't do tawbah, he doesn't repent. Allah Ta'ala gives him punishments, he does more sins then, more sins. So look, Allah says, you're sending me impure actions, dirty actions. Have you ever cleaned your heart with tawbah? Have you ever cried tears from your eyes due to tawbah, repentance and remorse and regret, that you've become so full of takabbur and pride that salah you're praying and you think that all of these things you're doing make you a big man? So Allah then punishes that person. Then Allah Ta'ala says that wherever a person's akhlaq, then his akhlaq is spoiled. When his akhlaq is spoiled, then people in the world don't like him, his children dislike him, his children don't like him, his family don't like him due to his bad akhlaq. He says, no, I'm good. They said, we don't like our dad, we don't like our dad. Doesn't matter, he can go where he wants. And when this happens, then the dunya is surprised and shocked that people start swearing bad to him, the family, people in the home, and then suddenly the direction changes. The suddenly habit becomes that his ibadah, the color of his ibadah changes, his akhlaq becomes so great. So my brothers, these are the few things in this majlis. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, because we are very weak, very weak. I speak about myself, that sins are done quickly and forgiveness comes late, we don't repent quickly. So I'm trying to repeat here so that we can revise and remember that where are we lazy and where are we lacking, where are our weak points, that we have done tawbah but we've lost out of that. So 2-3 new things we've realized today. Let's do amal on this, inshallah. You'll do this one, you, all of you? Yes. So start from today, from tonight, 5-10 minutes a day, give, make your balance sheet, analyze it, list down all the sins, and then send text to people, ask for forgiveness. Doesn't matter how much you're sweating, that, oh, I can't ask forgiveness from him, that, okay, fine, don't do it here, but on the day of judgment, Allah says, I'll make you naked, bare you, and then you'll have to beg for forgiveness. So it's better to ask for forgiveness here, that at least your burden can be made lighter, some sweat will come out, remorse, regret, but when you'll have to beg for forgiveness in thereafter, your deeds will be exchanged, and Allah says that then your neck will bow, and how will you get forgiveness then, because it'll be too late. So is it not better that we get forgiveness here, that, my friend, I made a mistake, forgive me, and here will succeed. Just send the text. Send the text. That's it. That maybe you can't meet him. If you can meet him, then fine. Face to face. And there's another tariqah, another method, that make yourself wretched and low and make ask for forgiveness. So there's a burden on the nafs, that I'm zaleel, I'm wretched, I'm impure and a dirty person. Such bad actions I did with you. Allah will become so happy that this man, he's lowered himself, humbled himself, sit down on the ground and ask and beg for that forgiveness from that person. The Allah, my Shaykh said, this is the tariqah, and then your maqam will be increased. You have to lower yourself. You have to finish takabbur and pride and your nafs and your desires and your ego. You have to rub yourself in the dirt, and Allah Ta'ala will elevate your rank and status. Why? Because who had the shan? Who? The greatest man from the whole of the human beings, the human race, our Imam al-Anbiya, Nabi al-Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the greatest prophet, the seal of the prophets. Did he have more humbleness than us? Did he lower himself from all of mankind, anyone more than the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Those people who did dhulm with him Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who swore at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who pushed him to hard positions, difficult position, who threw rubbish on him, who threw stones at him, rocks at him. Look at the status of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he's going back to the same place, seeing those people who inflicted the hardships on him. Such a great status, such nur, such love, subhanAllah, such mercy, that subhanAllah, that time Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his head bowed with ajizi, that I don't want to show that I'm higher than these people and stronger, and that they have to come to me for forgiveness, subhanAllah. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so great at that time, and the others were trembling and shaking, and they were afraid that what's going to happen to us, what is Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam going to do to us. do to us. But the Prophet ﷺ said, go, I forgive you all. My brothers, we need to reach to that akhlaq, to that level of conduct. We need to get to that level of conduct. So a person who is tawaza, who is humble, then why is he staunch and arrogant? We should not be arrogant and with a big ego. Even a dog is better than a human being, because at least he won't be accounted for. A tree won't be accounted for. We will be accounted for. There will be reckoning for our deeds every second. And what things will happen? The kibr, the pride, and takabbur, and ego, and nafs that needs to be extracted from us. We will allow Jahannam to come to our lives, but we won't go to that person and ask for forgiveness. Whether it's my wife, or my husband, or other people, family. Did you not remember when you were swearing or talking nonsense that you are Fir'aun? That you're pressing the human being, whether it's your wife or husband or relative. And if you have anger on somebody, and you know that they can't say anything in front of you, isn't it? Then why don't you go and show anger to a person who can punch you? Why don't you show anger and force and physical force to those people who are stronger than you? No, you'll always have, because you will have force and anger because you've got kibr and takabbur and pride. And you'll always do that to somebody who's physically weaker than you, who can't respond to you. And you will always do this because you know that they cannot respond. So you are pressing somebody who's weaker. And those people are weaker than you within your sphere of influence. Those who work for you, you'll scream at those people. So is this insania? Is this humanity? That Allah Ta'ala, can we attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness due to this? No, Allah Ta'ala says, humble yourself, lower yourself, become fana. Such humbleness would come, the people will be surprised that, mashallah, he's a good person. And what is tawaza? What is tawaza? The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us humbleness, humility, extreme humility we need to bring into our lives. That we need to seek forgiveness from those people we've oppressed. Even if it's family, children, whoever. That here, look at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who taught us, educated us. What is humility? Look at the kamal, the effect of tawaza. Those same people who thought that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was bad, or they looked down at him. But when you have tawaza, humility, you will lower yourself, but they will elevate you. They will elevate you. SubhanAllah, automatically they will respect you. They will come to you. They will revere you. Allah Ta'ala says, I will give them in their hearts respect for you. And they will bow themselves in front of you. They will say that, mashallah, we want to know you. And he will say, Ajib, I'm trying to show humility and lower myself. Allah says, and Allah has given me this respect. Allah says, no, you are so elevated and high status that in the hearts of those people, they have reverence for you, respect for you. They like you. So all of this is tasawwuf. Sufism is the definition of these qualities, that the person should have the highest form of akhlaq. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq to do this, so that we can travel along the right path. This is a very important point that I will explain to you a little bit quickly. Maybe the women folk are listening, the sisters. So a point that emanates here is that obviously Murideen, the students of the company of the Sheikh, isn't it? The men folk, they can sit, they come to dhikr, the majlis. And so the women folk, for them there's a great preparation. They also in the company of the Sheikh. What is that? That, for example, we have these majalis, these gatherings that are happening, but they'll say that this is just sobat company of the dhikr. But away from that, where's our company? So the women folk, the company is that the Sheikh's malfuzat, his kitabs, his speeches, if they keep on listening, they will be in the company of their Sheikh. And this is sobat company in the parda, behind the veil. Yes, just like the murid, the man, the human being, the man who has the sobat company of the Sheikh, who's sitting in the company. So the women folk, the sisters, if they read the malfuzat, the bayanats of the Sheikh, they join the majlis of the dhikr, they listen to the bayans. If you want to have the company of the Sheikh, play the bayan, you'll get the same phase, the same rewards of sobat, just like the men folk. So totally are equal, the men and women are the same. Women folk, don't think you are behind. Allah, exactly the same phase will come to your life, same rewards, same phase, same everything. Allah will give the blessings, just like a man sits in front of his Sheikh physically, he sees eye to eye with the Sheikh. So in the same way, the woman, if she sits and listens to a bayan or reads the malfuzat or kitabs, however much time she can, at that amount of time she'll be in the sobat, and in the hereafter she will get the reward of sobat, that this long you are sat in the company of Sheikh. Even if it's all day you're cooking, making food, chapatis, the tape is continuing to play, alhamdulillah, you will get the reward of the whole day being in the sobat, and you'll be honored the men, because you don't have to go anywhere. You're playing the tape, bayan, one bayan, next bayan, third bayan, alhamdulillah, continuous bayans with the wajah focus, and you're in wudu, then consider totally 100% you're in the company of your Sheikh. 24 hours you're spending in the company of your Sheikh, and all of this will count with the fadl of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala accept. Ameen.